So please stand for the reading of God's Word, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me and opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. This is God's word. Please be seated. And let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this passage of scripture, which for many of us is very familiar and very precious. Maybe for others it's new. But we ask, God, that you would bless the preaching of your word this morning. God, take away distractions. Take away unbelief. And help us, Lord, to hear what you have to say through the preaching of your word. We pray, Lord, that we would be more equipped to take up the armor of God. We would have a greater confidence in Christ and his victory that we share in. And we pray, Lord, that our love for you would be stirred up, fresh affection for you. God, we need your grace in our life. We need you. And so we pray for your help. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When theologians talk about the church, they often speak about two phases of the church: the church militant and the church triumphant. The church militant and the church triumphant. Now, the church militant is the church in this age, engaging in spiritual battles, tempted with sin, tempted with evil. The church going out doing good works, sharing the gospel. But it is a time of war, spiritual war and battle. And that is the church in this age, the church militant. But one day, Jesus will come back and he'll bring in the new heavens and the new earth. And God's people will be on the new earth with Christ, and the battle will be over. No more sin, no more death, no more fighting. That is the church triumphant. One day it will be here. But right now we live in the age of the church militant. And that's what we see in our text. There is a spiritual battle going on, and Christians are called to be faithful in the battle, to take up the armor of God and to pray. One day Christ will come, but until that day, we need to be faithful in the battle. And so what we see in our text today in Ephesians 6, we're looking at 14 to 20, is in the spiritual battle we face as Christians, God calls us to put on the whole armor of God and to pray. In the spiritual battle we face, God calls us, his people, to put on the whole armor of God and to pray. Now, let's remember the context. We are near the very end of our letter, of Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. In chapters 1 to 3, Paul explains the gospel. There is one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who made us, who loves us. We have all turned away from this God. We are dead in our sins under God's righteous anger. But this God is a God of love and grace and mercy. And he made us alive even when we are dead in our sins. He saves us by his grace through faith in Christ. Christ died and rose again. And if you believe in Christ, you will be saved. Not because of your works, but because of God's grace. And as a saved person, saved from our sin, we're our new creation. And God's new creation is made up of Jews and Gentiles, one new people that glorify God. Ephesians 4-6, Paul explains then how we live out the Christian life. And he's shown how the gospel is lived out in so many different ways. In the church, in our individual walk with the Lord, in families. And now we've reached the very end of the letter. And Paul brings up this analogy for us of the spiritual armor of God. And he calls us to be strong in the Lord, not in our own strength, and to take up the whole armor of God. We saw last week, he reminded us that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers of this present darkness, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. The devil is real, and he is scheming against us. He wants to steal our joy. He wants to steal our peace. He wants us to be confused and ineffective for the kingdom. So what do? Well, we take up the whole armor of God and we stand fast in God's power and we pray. And that's what we see today in our text. Our task as Christians in the spiritual battle is to put on the whole armor of God, the armor that he gives, and to pray. And so we'll see this in our text today. Verses, we're looking at chapter 6, 14 to 20. First, put on the whole armor of God. And second, pray. So firstly, putting on the whole armor of God. We see this in 14 to 17. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote this letter in the first century in Rome. And if you look here at the letter itself, as you look at the other letters, these are known as this letter is known as one of the prison letters, because Paul was in prison when he wrote this. And he was chained to a Roman soldier. Paul lived in a world full of Roman soldiers. So this imagery of a soldier was fresh in his mind. There's also imagery in the Old Testament of God being the warrior. And so it's likely, theologians think that Paul drew from these things to give us an analogy to help us as Christians. There's a real spiritual battle happening, and God calls us to take up the armor of God. And so what Paul gives us here in verses 14 to 16 is he tells us about the armor of God itself, and he gives us these six different pieces that Christians are to take on as we engage in the spiritual battle that we face. And the first piece of the armor is the belt of truth. And we see this in 14. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. Now, a Roman soldier had a belt that he wore, and it was to secure his undergarments. It's to keep everything fast together. Now, if you didn't have that, you know, your clothes would fall off or it'd be loose, fitting too loose for the battle. In the same way, the Christian is to put on a belt. The Christian soldier, all of us, we are put on a belt. And our belt is the belt of truth. Paul says, put on the belt of truth. Now, the analogy here is, as a soldier, we need the belt of truth, so that we might be secure and confident and ready to face the battle before us. Now, the belt of truth is God's word is truth. We open up our Bible and we learn the truth about who God is, who we are. We learn the questions of the afterlife, where we're headed, heaven or hell. God's word is the truth. And guys, in Paul's day and in our day, it's a time of great confusion all around us. And the devil's always trying to confuse us, to make us confused about who he is, or who God is, who we are. But we put on the belt of truth, and we're secure as we step out into the everyday world. We know who God is, because the Bible's told us. We know who we are, God's creation. We know how to be saved. We know what's wrong with the world, sin. We know where the world's heading, heaven and hell. So as Christians, we must put on the belt of truth. When you're hanging out with your classmates this week, and they say, you know what? There's so many ways to God. Nobody really knows the right way to heaven. There's Christianity, there's Hinduism, there's Buddhism. Nobody really knows, do they? What do you do in that situation? Well, you've got your belt of truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The belt of truth teaches you and protects you from the lies of the world and the lies of the devil. We need the belt of truth if we are to be faithful in the spiritual battle. When we hear the lies of the devil, we find the security in God's word, which is true. So that we put on the belt of truth as we enter into the battle. But the next piece of armor is the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, a Roman soldier had a breastplate, often of metal or different hard fabrics. And this would help him as he went in to hand-to-hand combat or other kinds of combat. And in the same way, a Christian is to put on a breastplate. And it's not a literal breastplate, but is the breastplate of righteousness. We are clothed in the breastplate of righteousness. Now, what this is speaking about is the righteousness that is given to us in the gospel. That is a right standing with God. Now, because of sin, we don't have a righteousness of our own to boast before a holy God. We have no hope in ourselves. But the good news of the gospel is there is a way to be right with God through the gospel. Now keep a finger in Ephesians and look back with me to Romans. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 to 17 talks about this righteousness. It's a righteousness outside of ourself that God has, that he has given to us through faith. When we have faith in Christ, it is freely credited to us. Romans 1:16, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, look at the word, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Now, this verse was revolutionary to Martin Luther when he came to see the truth of it. The truth of the gospel is that we can receive the righteousness of God, a right standing with God as a free gift through faith in Christ. That's what this is talking about. We don't deserve it, but God gives us this wonderful gift of a right standing with him through faith in Jesus. It's wonderful good news. Paul talks about it in Romans 3. Look at Romans 3:21-22. Paul explains it a little more. Paul says in Romans 3:21, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. So there's a righteousness that's out there, the righteousness of God that he gives. The law and the prophets, they testify to it, but you don't get it through them. Verse 22, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. This is the righteousness that we get through the gospel. And this is the breastplate of righteousness. If you have trusted in Jesus as your Savior, you are covered with the righteousness of God. The end time verdict of the last day has already been announced upon you. Righteous. You have trusted in Jesus. You are righteous before God because you have been clothed with the righteousness of Jesus, the infinite, perfect righteousness of God, given to you as a gift in the gospel. Now, as we go into the spiritual battle, We have the belt of truth and we have the breastplate of righteousness covering us. We are secure. We have a dignity that has been bestowed upon us as we are covered in the righteousness of Christ. That is the breastplate of righteousness. We don't go into the spiritual battle hopeful in our own abilities and our own talents. We're not boasting of how long we've gone without sinning in a certain way, but we rest in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that gives us a confidence and a courage and a strength in any spiritual battle because we have the righteousness of Christ. He's given it to us. That also prevents us from self-righteousness. There's no place for us to be self-righteous and to look down on other Christians or on other people because we are covered with the righteousness of Christ, the breastplate of righteousness. Now, we need that because the devil is an accuser of the brethren. He's going to accuse you and me of our sins. But when that happens, we remember, you know what? I'm covered in the righteousness of Christ. I'm secure. So we must wear the breastplate of righteousness. The third piece of armor now, after the belt and the breastplate, is the shoes. Verse 15, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. It's fun to read in the commentary about this. And the Roman soldiers in the first century, they had these boots, these shoes that they would wear. And that allowed them to run across different kinds of terrain and not slip, get stuck in the mud, or fall on their face. Just as, you know, when you go hiking, maybe you have got hiking boots to help you not slip. The Roman soldiers had particular shoes to help them engage in the battle. Now, the Christian soldier are to put on these certain kinds of shoes. And what are the shoes? It's the shoes of readiness given by the gospel of peace. Now, the gospel of peace is the announcement that through the gospel, we can have peace with God again. The bad news of our sin is that we do not naturally have peace with God. We are alienated from God, hostile to Him. We don't believe in God. We wish that He would just kind of go away and we could do our own thing. We are under His wrath, His condemnation. But through the gospel, we can be reconciled with God again. We can have peace with Him. We can enjoy a wonderful relationship with God. God is our Father. We can love Him. We can enjoy Him. And we have peace with one another. All of our sins are forgiven through the gospel. Now we can have a restored relationship with each other. Now, because of the gospel of peace, we have this readiness of our feet, these shoes of readiness. We're ready to go out and care for our classmates or our coworkers or our family members or our friends. Readiness to do Ephesians 2:10, to do the good works that we've been saved to do. But also a readiness to share the gospel, to go and tell the good news that Christ died and rose again, that we can be right with God. That's the shoes that we put on our feet. So you get up in the morning on Monday. It's early. You've got class to go to. You've got to go to work. But you put on the belt of truth. You know who you are in Christ. You put on the breastplate of righteousness, hoping in Jesus' perfect righteousness, and you put on the shoes of readiness. You're ready to speak that word of kindness to your classmate who's so discouraged. You're ready to share the good news of the gospel with your friend who doesn't even know anything about God. You're ready to open your wallet and meet that need. You're ready to open up your schedule and give of your time because you put on the readiness from the gospel of peace. The fourth piece of our armor is the shield of faith. Verse 16, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. I enjoyed reading about this in the commentary this week. The word in the Greek for the shield here was referring to a particular kind of shield that the Roman soldier had. It wasn't a little tiny dinky shield, but it was a 4-foot shield. 4 feet high, 2 feet long. And the Roman soldier could go into battle and he could hide his whole body behind that shield. And the Roman soldiers would, when they would go to besiege a fortress, is they would cover that shield with raw animal hide and they would wet it. And they would go into the battle, and the enemy might be shooting arrows, flaming arrows. Arrows that were on fire and had flammable substance that would hit an object and cause a big fire. But the covering of the shield actually would extinguish those flaming arrows. Now the soldiers, they would go together, actually, and if they linked up their shields on the front and over the back, they're basically impenetrable from spears, from arrows, from flaming arrows, from rocks. It kept them safe, and they needed that in the battle. As Christians, in the spiritual battle, we need the shield of faith, the shield of faith that can extinguish all the flaming darts. It can also be translated arrows of the evil one. The devil is shooting his flaming arrows at you, arrows of temptation. Look at this thing that you shouldn't look at. Desire this person that you shouldn't desire. Question God. Is God really good? Shooting all of these arrows at you and me. He's shooting these flaming arrows. Remember that terrible thing that you did 10 years ago? Shooting those arrows. God probably doesn't really love you. These are all arrows from the devil. We all face them. 20 years ago, I got to be a missionary for 1 year in Scotland. Scotland's a place of great spiritual darkness and unbelief. I've never really been tempted with atheism, the view that there is no God. It's always felt absurd to me. But when I went to Scotland, the first few weeks, when I tried to go to sleep at night, I was bombarded by these thoughts. There's no God. This is all just made up. You're just wasting your time. These thoughts assaulted my heart and my mind and stole my peace. And the guy who was discipling me, I shared with him, and he said, have you ever struggled with this before? No, I've never really been tempted with this particular kind of sin. He said, you know, this is probably a spiritual battle. I'm like, oh yeah, duh. How didn't I notice that? And we prayed together, and actually that kind of attack, it released, or I was delivered from it. In a sense, I wasn't really tempted. The heaviness, the thoughts, the assault lifted. But as Christians, we go through these experiences. We're tempted in the flesh all the time, but sometimes we have particular experiences of the devil shooting these arrows at us. But what do? We take up the shield of faith. The shield of faith is our faith in God and the promises of God. The arrow comes at you. See, your life's pretty hard. God doesn't really care for you. You've been praying for this situation for years, and God's not answering. He probably doesn't even hear. What do? Take up the shield of faith. God works all things together for the good of those who love him. I trust in my God who loves me, who is ordering all things for my good, who's sovereign over everything. I take up the shield of faith, and it can extinguish those flaming arrows of the devil. Guys, the devil's much more powerful than all of us. But God has given us an armor that we can withstand the lies, the schemes of the devil. The shield of faith can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. When the devil shoots his arrows, so you know what? I believe in God. I believe in the promises of God. I believe that God's with me. And I'm going to take up that shield and I'm going to stand secure. Take up the shield of faith, guys, this week. Put on the belt of truth. God's word is true. The breastplate of righteousness. The shoes of readiness from the gospel of peace. And the shield of faith. What's the fifth piece of the armor? Yeah, that's right. 17. Take the helmet of salvation. A Roman soldier had a metal helmet that he would put on over his head. Sometimes they would have a nice ornamentation on the top, feather or other things, and decorative things on the side. The helmet would keep their head safe from different attacks. Sword striking against it, an arrow flinging off it, spear bashing against it. A Roman soldier needed to have on the helmet if he was going to be safe. And we as Christians in the spiritual battle put on the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. Because of our sins, we are in great need of salvation. We are headed to hell. We're slaves to our sin. We need to be delivered. And the message of the whole Bible is, you can't save yourself, but God in love and grace saves a people for his glory. He'll save you. Place your faith in him. Salvation belongs to the Lord, not to us. So we put on the helmet of salvation and we rest secure in the salvation that Christ won for us. Just one other reference here about salvation is in Titus 2. If you keep a finger in Ephesians and look at Titus 2. Look at how Paul explains the gospel in reference to salvation. Titus 2 verse 11 says this, For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. See, in the gospel, the grace of God has appeared. God shows love and mercy towards sinners who don't deserve it. And it brings salvation, saving us from being estranged from God, that we can know God, saving us from being a slave to sin, that we could live for God. We put on the helmet of salvation in the spiritual battle. And the metaphor, the imagery we think is this, I'm saved. If you're a Christian, you're saved. You have eternal life. The devil can kill you, or you can die. But you know what? If you have eternal life, you can't die in a sense, because you already have eternal life that's going to go forever. You might physically die. You might get cancer or some disease and die this week. But if you're a Christian, you have eternal life. You have the helmet of salvation, and the devil can never take that away from you. You are secure. By remembering that, the helmet of salvation, that's going to give you and me peace and confidence when we face terrifying situations. I spoke to someone recently and had this terrifying nightmare that robbed them of peace. Couldn't sleep. All these fears in their mind and heart. We remember the helmet of salvation. I have salvation in Jesus. He has saved me. I'm secure. No matter what bad dreams I have, no matter what scary situations I go into, I'm secure. I have the helmet of salvation. I don't have to be afraid. Helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of readiness, shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. And the last piece of armor is the sword. And this, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. If you're a Christian, you're in a spiritual battle, and you need to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, the word for the sword here in the Greek is referring to a 2-foot-long sword that a Roman soldier would use in hand-to-hand combat. They had the longer swords that took two hands to hold on to. This is not referring to that. It's referring to a 2-foot sword that a Roman soldier would use in hand-to-hand combat. And this is what the Christian is to take up. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, for the Christian, the sword is not a literal sword. but it is God's word given to us in the scriptures. So we take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We wield scripture in the spiritual battle. You're meeting up with your friend for discipleship, and they're feeling, again, very discouraged. And you wield the sword. God is our refuge, a very present help in trouble. The sword cuts, but also wounds, also heals. You're meeting with a friend, and they're very proud and very arrogant. You wield the sword of Scripture. Let man not boast in his own understanding, but in the Lord. You're struggling to love your wife sacrificially. Ephesians 5 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. Sword, it cuts. You're sharing the gospel with a friend. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. The sword. You're wielding the sword in evangelism. You're wielding the sword in discipleship. You're going in the spiritual battles that you face. You're wielding the sword as the devil lies, as you hear unbelief from the culture around you. We have to wield the sword, brothers and sisters. God's word is the sword. Now, this shows the importance for you and I to be in the word of God regularly, to read, to pray, to meditate, to memorize scripture, or else we're going to go into battle without a sword. And it's going to make life much more difficult. We need the sword if we are to fight the good fight of faith. If we are to engage in the battle, we need to take God's word. Not rest in our own understanding, not rest in the arguments of philosophy, but to rest ultimately in the words of Scripture, which is the word of God, or which is the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. Now, guys, as we've considered the armor of God, these six pieces, remember with me how these things are a gift given to us through the gospel. This is a gift given to us through the gospel. All these aspects. Think about the armor. Get the belt of truth. Before we were Christians, we believed the lies of the devil. Christ doesn't matter. God is unreal or unimportant. But through the gospel, our eyes have been opened to the truth. We've been brought into the truth of reality. This is a gracious gift that God has given us. We can know God. We can know how to be saved. Think about righteousness. Maybe we used to rest in our own righteousness. Oh, I'm a good person. God will allow me to go to heaven. It's not true. We're not actually good people. We've broken God's law. But through the gospel, we have this righteousness given to us as a gift. And we can have peace in our hearts because we're covered with Christ's righteousness. Through the gospel, we have peace. That's a wonderful gift. We can have peace in our hearts, but we ultimately have peace with God and with each other, an objective righteousness or objective peace. Through the gospel, we place our faith in Jesus. We receive eternal life. We experience salvation and we're filled with the Spirit. All these are wonderful gifts offered to us through the gospel. And that's what the armor of God is. It's a gift. It's given to us. Now, maybe you're here today and you're not a Christian yet. We're so glad that you're here with us hearing the gospel again. We need to share with you the bad news that you are fighting a battle. But you're on the wrong side right now. You are fighting on the devil's side if you're not a Christian. You may say, well, I don't even believe in the devil. But you don't have to believe in him to be doing his works. Guys, it's a losing battle. Jesus has won the war. He has conquered sin and death through his death and resurrection. Come to Christ. Experience eternal life. Come to the King, the victor, who died for a rebellious people. Romans 5:10 says, while we were still enemies, Christ died. We didn't want him. But this victor died for his enemies. That's the beautiful thing of the gospel, is Christ died for his enemies. While we were opposing him, he died for us. It's astonishing. It's wonderful good news. Come to faith in Jesus even this morning. The application for the believer is take up the armor of God. Guys, take up the armor of God this week. If you haven't read this passage recently or thought about it, can I encourage you to spend some time in it this week? Memorize it if you can, or at least memorize the six pieces. Belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, shoes of readiness from the gospel of peace, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit. Think about that. Maybe you say, but how do I actually put on the armor of God? How do I do it? Well, one thing is, remember, there's a real battle that you face. Secondly, consider each of those pieces of armor. Remember, this is an analogy to help you follow Jesus and engage in the real battle that you face. Consider each piece and ask God to help you. Say, Lord, help me to put on the belt of truth, to rest in the truth of Scripture. God, thank you for the breastplate of righteousness. You've covered me with the righteousness of Christ. Help me to rest in that, to not look down on other Christians, to not try to put my hope in myself, but rest in the righteousness of Christ. Lord, help me to have the shoes of readiness from the gospel of peace, to be ready for the good works you have. Lord, help me to take up the shield of faith, to extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And help me to recognize those lies when they're coming at me, to know they're not from you. Lord, help me to take on the helmet of salvation and to wield the sword of the Spirit. And trust that God's armor is sufficient to help you in the real battle that you face. Now, briefly, as we've looked at the armor of God, how does Paul then continue? How does he finish the passage? He says, take up the armor of God, but then he also says to pray. In verses 18 to 20, the theme is prayer. Taking up the armor of God, verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. I was chained to a Roman soldier. That I may declare boldly as I ought to speak. Paul encourages us in a spiritual battle to pray. Notice these four alls in the commentaries bring this out. Verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit. When we pray, we're praying in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit helping us, empowering us, bringing things to our mind to pray for. Praying at all times in the Spirit. Second all, pray with all prayer and supplication. So all kinds of prayer. Not just asking for things, but confessing our sin, giving thanks, prayers of praise. The third, all, making supplication, or keeping alert with all perseverance. So not losing heart, but continuing to persevere in our prayer and making supplication for all the saints. That's the fourth, all, praying for one another. Guys, as you go in the spiritual battle this week, let's pray for each other. Let's pray that God would help us to put on the armor of God. When those in the congregation, our friends who are in high school, they're going into the high schools this week, let's pray for them, that God would help them to put on the armor of God. Our church members who are at college, as they're encountering unbelieving secular ideas or just the temptations from the flesh, let's pray for our college students. Moms and dads trying to shepherd their own hearts and the hearts of their kids. Let's pray for each other. Singles just trying to be faithful. Let's pray for one another. And look at what Paul says in 19 to 20. And pray also for me. Now, it's interesting. We can't actually do 19 and 20, right? Paul is in glory now. He's not on the earth. He's in heaven with Jesus. But what does Paul say? He prays also for me. This is what he wanted the Ephesians to do. That words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. for which I'm an ambassador chained, that I may declare boldly as I ought to speak. Paul asked that the Ephesians would pray for him that he would speak the gospel boldly. We are all tempted to be timid with the gospel. There's a real spiritual battle. The devil doesn't want us to share the gospel. So we need boldness. So I would ask you to pray for me, that I as a pastor would boldly preach the gospel every week to you. Can you pray for me, my own personal witness, that God would help me to be bold with my friends, my neighbors? And let's pray that for each other. God, help us to be bold in sharing the gospel. It's hard. We can't do it in our own strength. We need to pray that God would give us boldness. Guys, in the battle that we face, we must take up the armor of God and be engaged in prayer. And this passage reminds us, God's with us. He's given us the armor. He's given us a task to do, to pray. And Jesus is our great victor. He's leading us in victory. Friends, we are in the age of the church militant. It is a day of battles. But one day we'll be in the church triumphant. The fight will be over. We'll be out with Jesus on the new heavens and the new earth. Until that day, let's take up the armor and let's pray. Pray with me. Lord, thank you for this time together in your word. Thank you for the armor of God. I pray that you would help us to take up the whole armor of God today and this week as we face the schemes of the devil, the fiery arrows, the lies and deceits and temptations we face. Please help us to put on the whole armor of God. Help us to be strong in you, not in our own strength. Thank you for the armor of God. Thank you, Lord, that you equip us with what we need by your Spirit. Help us, Lord, also to be a people of prayer, praying for one another, praying for boldness. And thank you that you hear our prayers. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.